we're doing this on Zoom recording today, and I'm on a house computer that doesn't have a camera, so you can't see me, and I've got this weird picture up. Courtney, I believe, is just relaxing at home and does not feel like being on camera. King,
correct.
Right. King, you just joined, and you got your
I got a Sox hat on.
I mean, ooh, I want to see the King.
I got a new tooth.
Oh, new tooth.
Oh, that looks nice.
And I have just officially, I'm getting a tooth with a White Sox logo on it.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're really getting a logo Sox tooth.
I'm getting one with Guaranteed Rate on it, you know, the arrow. I'm getting one with White Sox, and I'm getting a peace sign. And I might get a silver one and a gold one, well, silver or gold. I think we could.
Are you lying?
No, I'm fucking getting it. I'm telling you. And there's nothing wrong with Abreu, and there's nothing wrong with La Russa. I mean, what the fuck are we talking about here? It's just a guy that's shaking off the cobwebs, for God's sake. And he's, you know, 1,000 times behind his players. Those guys are going to win for him. They're in first place. Everybody, take a chill pill. This is good.
Okay, so the King is always the most positive. Courtney, meet the King. And I guess
hey,
he's...
Hi, Courtney.
And
how are you? Nice meeting you.
Good meeting you, too. I hear you're quite the Sox fan.
And I can see you're quite the Sox fan, and you're very passionate. You know, we're going to disagree on a couple of things here, but I think we can have a pretty good give and take, you and I.
And Mo knows Mo watches every pitch, so Mo actually knows more than I do. So Mo's the man.
Okay.
Mo, you know why? Because we won 3 in a row. That's momentum. We're playing 13 straight games. I think we go 13-0, and we close out this division in this homestand. Why not?
I don't disagree with that. You know, the Sox are playing a Twins team that's extremely vulnerable right now. And I don't know if they'll go 13-0, but I see them winning the series. Absolutely, I do. Every series in these 13 games, I absolutely see them winning it. I don't disagree.
First of all, Mo, will you put yourself on camera so Courtney can see and Scott can see what you're wearing today? Because I've on our first call, which both Courtney and Scott were late to, I got to see the Mo look today, and it's very strong. I mean, look at him. The sweatshirt, the hat. I mean, look at that guy. Now, is that not who you want to be doing a White Sox podcast with?
I got my Eloy jersey, hanging up.
No, you got to leave that in the closet for 5 or 6 more months. Can't bring it.
I can't though, King. I'm still mourning that one.
You know what though? It's like the trade deadline. He's gonna come back like we just traded for him. It's gonna be and goes Robert. I mean, come on, this is gonna be amazing. You know, we'll get Chris Bryant somehow.
Chris Bryant. Come on.
Whoa. As the lone representative of the North Side on this podcast, on the White Sox podcast, which I feel comfortable because I'm in such White Sox territory here that I can actually peek my head out and admit my longtime Cub fandomness as somebody who did White Sox radio for 3 years until they left WGN and left me alone, and I'll forever be bitter about it. But that's okay. I'll get over it someday. Don't talk about Chris Bryant being traded to the White Sox. And Mo, you should not say no to Chris Bryant. Whoever's going to be fortunate enough, because the Cubs are idiots, Chris Bryant would be an amazing addition to any ball club, including the White Sox. You tell me you don't want KB?
It depends what you got to give up for him.
You're not going to have to give up much.
No. The Cubs are going to ask for a lot, and the White Sox, I don't think, have a lot at the lower levels to give up that they can afford. I'm not a huge – Chris Bryant plays for the Cubs, so – he doesn't really exist for me, but he gets hurt a lot too. So you're gonna give up a lot of trade capital for a guy who may not make it through the end of the season.
Hey, Mark, serious question for you as the only North Sider on this call right now. In all seriousness, were you a Cub fan that gave up on Chris Bryant and were like, oh no, he's done?
No.
Were you one of those Cub fans? Be honest. So
Courtney, I appreciate the question. I am not that guy. I am all I have my. Listen, I could play you the interview of myself being on the field after the Cubs won the NLCS in 2016, and Bryant was the coolest person to me ever, and I am biased like we all are. And if you're that nice to me in that moment when I'm not, you know, ESPN guy, although I was working for WGN, not exactly nothing, but he's such a good person, Chris Bryant. And add on to the fact that he was the rookie of the year. He was the MVP. He had a home run in game 5 of the World Series when they absolutely had to have it. They wouldn't have gotten to 6 and 7. He's been clutch. There's nothing. He plays third. He plays first. He'd be a great DH in the American League. He plays left. He plays right. He plays center. There is nothing not to like about Chris Bryant. You want that guy on your team. Last time the White Sox made a trade with the Cubs, it worked out pretty damn well. Unfortunately, Eloy's been hurt, but you know, listen, you do that trade a thousand times over. Jose Quintana sucked for the Cubs.
Didn't we get Cease from the Cubs?
Yeah, you got Cease and Eloy.
Yeah, a little bit, huh? He ain't too bad. He can swing the bat. Jesus Christ, sure can. Mark, and when have I? You know, sometimes I have a little insight.
Oh, you got insight on this.
Ooh. I'm not saying.
Do tell.
I'm just telling you, sometimes I have a little insight.
No, you can't drop that you got a little bit insight. So you think there's a little bit of legs to KB to the White Sox?
I do.
Courtney, he's being serious. He knows things.
You know, I've heard mixed on it myself. King, I know you're the king, but I get a little bit of insight too, by the way. And I, yes, I do. I do. And I have heard mixed on it. I agree with Mo. I think Mo has a point. You know, KB is having this phenomenal resurrection, and the Sox are going to have to, you know, pony up. And what I mean, it would scare me what they would give up for a Chris Bryant. It would definitely scare me. So I'm kind of mixed on it as well, to be honest.
Well, he also fits because you don't know exactly who is going to come back healthy and how the whole roster will come together. You're trying to win the World Series this year, which dovetails me into – I can't believe there's actually real. If they trade Chris Bryant to the White Sox, honestly, I will burn all my Cubs stuff and just go full White Sox, even though they fired me in favor of Connor McKnight. I'll have to do it at that point. It will have to be done. Here's my question, Courtney. I'm starting with you, then Mo, then King. You can come in with your flowery take. Of these White Sox pitchers, let's just look at the pitching right now. Who are you most confident in will maintain this level of excellence? Is it Carlos Rodon and his 5 starts and 5-0 record and his 31 innings and 0.58 ERA? Are we there? Or is it Michael Kopech with his 9 games, and apparently he might start on Friday in the doubleheader? He's got 2 starts under his belt, 22 innings. How many strikeouts? That's right, 35 of them. 1.61 the ERA, 0.9 is whip. That's candidate number 2. And then I'll even throw in a Lance Lynn, who's got a 1.52 with a 0.98 whip, 29 and 2/3 innings. He struck out 35 and has been absolute nails, everything you always wanted. Of those 3, who are you most confident in that will maintain that level of excellence? Courtney, go ahead.
Well, Mark, first of all, I'm a little disappointed you didn't throw in my boy Dylan Cease.
Throw Cease in there. Throw him in. That's fine. He's been a little up and down, though, a little bit.
He has, but as far as the complete pitchers, besides Michael Kopech, which we'll get into, I have a lot of confidence in what I'm seeing from Dylan Cease right now. Again, I feel like he is sort of a Michael Kopech light in that way, where he's got the stuff, he's just got to put it together. And I think we're slowly starting to see that. You know, he's constantly getting advice from Lance Lynn, constantly getting advice from Lucas Giolito. He's a sponge at this point. And I feel like he is going to start turning some heads, even more so than he already is. Now, in that same breath, I mean, I think you can't blink an eye at what Michael Kopech has been doing. I mean, this is a guy that just attacks hitters. And after missing all of last season with everything that happened with that, you know, to come out and do exactly what he's done and just attack and just be lights out has been phenomenal. So that's the guy right there that I would be putting all of my trust into. I wish I could say Rodon. I really do. But I feel like every Rodon start, I'm holding my breath, waiting for an injury to happen. So, and I hate to be that guy. I hate to be that person, but I kind of am. So, I mean, luckily this is a good problem to have because a lot of the pitchers right now have been great. But for me, it's Kopech. And then it's my man, Dylan Cease. I think Dylan is turning the corner here. I really do.
It's interesting that you have no injury concerns with Kopech, because I have the same stuff going on with Kopech that I do have with Rodon. Mo, what do you got?
Courtney brings up great points. I agree with all of them. I think Lance Lynn would be the easy choice just because of the track record, but I'm going to go with number 34. He's been amazing, and, you know, if he stays healthy, he's the real deal.
Do you want him starting, both of you?
Yes.
You know, I don't know enough about the, you know, the what's best for his arm. I know they're keeping a close watch on him, although, you know, the one game he did start, he threw a lot more pitches than he had previously, which a little concerning. But, you know, that guy's the real deal, and you know, whatever they need to do to get him into you know, September and then hopefully October meaningful games, I'm all for. So if right now him sort of bouncing around is the best thing for his arm, he's going to be, you know, exceptional in each role he does.
I don't need him starting right away, but I think maybe second half, especially what's going on in the division, what's going on with the playoff situation, it would be good to have him stretched out and ready to go in the second half as far as the start.
I think that however they handle him should not correlate to where they are, how much they need him, just should be the best for him, period. It's not a one-year play. It's a 10-year play. So I do hope they attack it that way. King, you got confidence in every single one of them? They're all going to be amazing? Or is there someone that stands out for you?
Every one of them. This is going to be the greatest rotation in baseball history. Look at it. They went 28 innings without an earned run, and now they have one earned run in 34. This could be – they have guys that can go deep in Lancelin. They have guys that don't – you know, sometimes can't get by the fifth but have really good stuff, and you're Dylan Cease. They got guys like Rodon that have something to prove. This – and then they have the consummate pro in – although a slow start in Lucas Giolito. And then, come on, Dallas Keuchel. Who are we kidding? This could be the greatest rotation in baseball history when all is said and done. You're fired. You leave him in the bullpen. You leave him in the bullpen because you need a bullpen that can do work from the fifth on and win a World Series. Period.
Okay, so just
King, I think the bottom teeth should all be, you know, one for each starter in the rotation.
If I could do it, and if the numbers are small enough, I would.
See. This is what my whole vision for this podcast was, that I would bring in the diehard, always positive King, and then I'd have Southside passionate, perhaps some negativity, and along with the flavor, and then Mo would just be rational. But the King is going so over the top. Have you heard of the Atlanta Braves of the 90s? You're telling me that Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox, this White Sox rotation is going to be that? Steve Avery?
Numbers don't lie. Let's just see how it evolves. Well,
okay, actually, this makes me want to ask another question. Does anybody on this podcast think that they should do something dramatic with the baseball rules so pitching doesn't dominate the way it does right now?
Oh, man. Mark, you know how I feel about this, man. I mean, I'm old school. I really am. I mean, I like to say I'm still young, even though I'm getting up there. But, you know, I was raised very, very old school. You know, I am not a big fan of what they're trying to constantly, you know, mix in with, you know, changing the mound. You know, it's getting a little silly. You know, baseball is still baseball. It's been the same game, you know, since when Babe Ruth was playing. Like, let's not get too drastic, get too crazy. I'm just kind of against messing with the game in the way they're trying to do it. I just am. I'm old school that way.
So is that resonating with everybody else? Because
here's what I want. I want consistent umpiring.
I agree.
And I want the umps to call. I mean, just consistent balls and strikes.
I agree.
And if I get there, I'm happy. And if the pitching dominates from that point on, then that's the hitter's problem.
Does that mean you want do we want robot umpires? At least robot person calling balls and strikes? Because I do.
I don't want that, but I think it would be the best for baseball.
I mean, how about, you know, getting rid of the Angel Hernandezes of the world and the Joe West, and, you know, maybe start from there and see what happens. I mean, get some young blood into these umps. I don't know.
100%.
They did it in tennis, you know, the linesmen.
Right. I mean, the linesmen are still there, but the
exactly. And they fought it, and they fought it, and they fought it. And it's been the greatest thing for tennis.
Yeah. And
why wouldn't you do it with baseball?
It literally takes 2 seconds.
I think they called Eagle Eye in tennis.
Yep.
And it's beautiful, and it works. And it's just people, you know, we're Americans, we're resistant to change. If we're in Europe right now talking about this, they would say, of course we go for, you know, machine baseball. You know, of course, because they like change. We're Americans. We're stuck in our ways. Of course we say no. Let's do what's right for the game.
Honestly, I love that tennis made it on the podcast today. My all-time favorite sport outside of basketball that nobody ever talks about and never can be talked about because no one cares, but it made it in today. That makes me feel good. I got one more for you before we have to say goodbye because everybody's got lives to live here. Offensively, who do you believe in the most between Yermaine Mercedes, Mr. 373, 1,005 OPS right now, Yermaine, in his 102 at-bats and his six doubles and his five homers and his 20 RBIs, or I will wild card you, Dylan Cease at the plate, Courtney. Who do you believe in more, Mercedes or Dylan Cease with the 3-for-3 performance? No, I'm kidding. Is Yermaine going to actually create an issue where if Eloy comes back and if, I guess, Andrew Vaughn keeps going and shows that he can play left field, that there's going to be a battle for who's going to be the designated hitter on this team? Could anybody actually see that? Because I'm seeing that conversation move around. It seems crazy to me. Mo, anybody have a reaction to the potential good problem the White Sox could have?
Before Robert got hurt, I was thinking about that come September, you may have a good problem, right, with the bats. We just need to get Eloy back, and then, you know, we can figure it out. You can have that could be another thing that people argue with Tony's lineups, you know, when he's got a full deck, what he does.
Actually, that's an even better question that we need to get to. Courtney, what's your biggest issue with La Russa?
Where do I begin, Mark? You know, I have not enjoyed the way he's handled the bullpen. I think that's obvious. Some of his lack of pinch hitting in the later innings has been very, very questionable. But I do want to touch on that Yermaine Mercedes comment for a minute. Not to be negative, I know Mercedes is the guy right now, and I totally respect that. I am a little hesitant that the league is going to start to figure him out. And I say that because, you know, what is he, 27, 28? You know, he's never played at this high level before. I mean, what he's doing is absolutely phenomenal right now. But the league does catch up. And I also, not to really delve into this too much, but I worry about a little off the field stuff, a tiny bit. You know, he already had a little bit of a small issue showing up late, you know, a couple weeks ago. So that's a little bit of a red flag, something to watch. It'll be interesting. I mean, what he's doing is phenomenal. I hope it would be a great problem for the Sox to have, but I think we have to pump the brakes and let, you know, these next couple months kind of play out.
I think you hit on a great point. The one thing I like, Mark, about Yermaine is his approach. You know, he's a guy with two strikes where he changes it and just tries to put the ball in play. And you know, going back to the question about the rules, right? Most hitters are just trying to, you know, jack one on every time. And if they strike out, they don't. The thing that's impressed me the most about him is that he's willing to change his approach with two strikes, go the other way. I'm not saying he's going to hit, you know, 370 and, you know, continue to dominate the way he has, but you know, that type of player may stay longer than somebody who's always just trying to hit the ball out of the park, like a Palka, you know, and some of the other folks who've had some good starts for the Sox recently. And then, kind of didn't pan out.
I was so in love with Daniel Palka and a Palka party and everything that was Daniel Palka. I was totally biased because he gave me a very fun interview and Palka was just fun. But your mean is, but I think what Courtney's mentioned here as far as showing up late, and here's the unpopular, might get me fired take of the podcast. When you're that overweight, it ain't great.
Fully agreed.
Like,
listen, Mark, come on.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Guy is appreciative for the road that he has traveled, the journey that has got him there. So he likes a few cervezas here and there. Who gives a damn? The guy shows up. He's a ball of energy, and I'm behind him. Yerminator. He'll continue to be back.
Hashtag the Yerminator.
Question for King, Mark. Sorry to cut you off. I'm fascinated by King. You know, can we get you to say one negative thing about the Sox? I'm very curious.
I'll say negative things about the Sox when I see something that is truly negative. Let's roll in the Tony La Russa on that. What is negative about a guy who makes some mistakes, admits the mistakes, knows from experience that those mistakes really don't matter in the big picture, and is simply getting a team behind him to win a World Series?
Can I play this?
You have not coached three world champions. He has. He knows what he's doing. You don't.
Wow.
Get him, Courtney. Get him.
Oh, King doesn't know my style, Mark. This could get ugly real fast. I first of all, I wanna say that I am not one of these Sox fans that wants to jump down La Russa's throat every time he, you know, breathes funny. That's not my deal. That's not my game. But
Courtney, we talked about his masks and his breathing on a previous episode. Mark was fascinated with his choice of mask.
I thought he looked like a complete moron and didn't even know how to wear his mask, and I called it a problem, Courtney. He had this odd beak, and then he showed up. And then the first time he had a press conference with the Chicago media, he showed up an hour and a half late and said, "Oh, sorry, I won't be as late tomorrow." You won't be as late tomorrow? What's up, dude? That ain't right.
Mo said when Tony La Russa has a full deck. I'm not sure Tony La Russa has a full deck or will ever have a full deck for the rest of his life. But boy, he still knows baseball.
No, I meant a full deck of players.
I understand what you meant. I understand exactly what you meant. I'm just playing off that. But what he does know, and he doesn't need to know an obscure rule about putting a pitcher on second base to win ball games. He's not in the National League,
King,
for God's sake. King, he's in the American League.
King,
I gotta disagree with you,
King,
on that one.
King, you're an idiot.
Or the World Series.
No.
He knows how to do it.
Not knowing the rules is a big problem. I think that's on him and his coaching staff. I don't think everything he does, to Courtney's point, is negative. I think a lot of fans are upset with the hiring and him, but you know, I think any manager can make mistakes. He has, you know, admitted to them, which is a plus, but you know, I think some of what he's doing is trying to figure out his team and test his team out. But you look at any manager day to day and you could find fault with them. But not knowing the rule, that's a bad one.
He's in first place without his two superstars, his hitting superstars. He has a number one pitching rotation in baseball. The only thing that he's doing wrong is he's making a few rule mistakes and a few pitching, leaving pitchers in too
just
long
a
mistakes.
Few rules. Okay? Few.
However.
Yeah.
And maybe he wears his pants too big and he walks slowly to the mound. Other than that, he's doing just fine.
Well,
Did you look at the standings?
King, take a deep breath. Courtney, get him, please.
Quick counterpoint, King. Listen, I am very impressed that the Sox are in first. King's gone, man. He's like, screw this.
No. He's listening. He's just trying to.
Board, so I'm ready to go.
So from my just a quick counterpoint from my count, King, those were four losses that his decisions caused. Four.
No
from
doubt.
My count.
No doubt.
So, you know, that's problematic. You know, this is a division right now where they can get some space, and they haven't really done that yet, and they've had opportunities to do that. So. That's a little problematic. Are the Twins going to be this bad throughout the whole season? I don't think so.
Let me ask you. So you say, see, here's the difference between reality and non-reality and fantasy. You assume we would have won those four games. So if you said potentially four wins, I'd say, Courtney, you're right. But when you call them four losses, you lose credibility with me because that isn't a factual statement. The statement should be he put us in a position where it may have led to a loss, but may not have also.
What a bizarre parsing. Go ahead, Courtney.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that, but it's still decisions that someone that's, you know, has the criteria that he has and knows the game like you claim he does should not be making. So it's problematic.
I want to just ask a question here. We all agree, I believe, that La Russa did not know a slightly, if not completely odd extra inning runner on second base. He's an American League manager.
The word is obscure.
Sure. We could say it's obscure, King. That's fine. He's paid to know obscure rules. But okay, it was an obscure rule. Now, do we think that his coaching staff, that nobody knew the rule?
That's my question, too. I mean, why wasn't his coaching staff in tune with what was going on? Because as you guys saw, the Dodgers and Cubs went into extras that same night.
Right.
And Dave Roberts had no problem with that rule.
Right. So my point is that there is no way that everybody on that staff did not know. I would actually surmise that probably the whole staff did know. But they were also afraid to tell Tony that he had it wrong, that they didn't approach him because he's created this I'm Tony and you're the coaches thing. And that is an issue that will not just play out in this obscure rule, but it's going to play out elsewhere. And that actually is a problem. And the fact, hold on, King. Let me just throw in there too. Jose Abreu was basically forced to come out with a statement about how great Tony was. He had that flowery statement, La Russa's the greatest, and he's had all this experience. And it was after all the reports that were out there that some in the White Sox clubhouse are losing the respect of the manager. So here they went to veteran Jose. Hey, Jose, will you say this? So it's clear to me, I think it's pretty obvious, that he doesn't exactly have everybody on board in that dugout. When you make the decisions that he's made, when you don't know the rules, and when you haven't created an environment with your coaches who probably have said something to either at least the coaches and or the players who they're most tight with, that's not great. Now, it might not matter because the White Sox are pitching incredibly well, and they're way more talented than everybody in the division, and over time, maybe La Russa gets better, so maybe none of this matters. But it's not the situation that you really want. And I think that's obvious that this hire is bizarre and continues to be bizarre. And I actually am surprised that, like, I would have believed that he would miss an obscure rule, but I wouldn't have believed he could stare at Lucas Giolito and not know when he's done. That I wouldn't think would ever leave you.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you have any evidence, hard evidence, other than?
No, I don't. I do not have hard evidence.
So are you the mayor or are you the king of Fantasyland?
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's that.
Wow.
That's that. Because everything you just said is your opinion, no doubt, but there's no factual evidence that says any of that is accurate.
I get paid big money to come up with these opinions, King. Okay, fine. I get
Oliver Stone part two.
I get
Mark Carmen.
I can make up that.
I'm not.
They all love him, and they cook dinner for him at night because they love him so much. I can do anything you want.
Mark, you brought up Lucas Giolito. Like, Tony La Russa, obviously, I'm going to say this, and you guys are going to be like, obviously, he's old school. He's old. Yeah, I get the joke. But it's early on. He's got his ace of the staff out there. He's probably testing him to see what he can do. It's easy to say, like, oh, he was sleeping in the dugout. You know, he wasn't paying attention. But, you know, he has Ethan Katz there who's paying attention. I think he wanted to see what he could do. Did I think he left him in too long? Yes, I do. It's really easy to say in hindsight. But I think La Russa did it for a reason, whether we like the reason or not, whether we like the result or not. I don't think it was, you know, I'm just not paying attention to what's going on.
If that's true and it's entirely possible, I don't hate it. Let me take a swing at figuring something out. It might go sideways for me, but I'm willing to take that risk right now because we are in April and we are this talented. And maybe if I am wrong right now, I'll at least learn something. It'll help me down the line. That's fine.
Let me ask you one question, Mark.
Yes, quickly.
What manager in baseball has the experience that Tony La Russa does in preparing a team for the postseason?
Courtney.
162 game season.
Please help me, Courtney.
Who has more experience at that than Tony La Russa? Just tell me. Give me the top three that have more experience. Successful. Let me say that.
Should we dig up Connie Mack?
Experience. Okay?
Should we dig up Lasorda? These things have an expiration date.
Okay. Exactly.
But
exactly.
Who in baseball today has that level of experience? Let me say it again.
Nobody, because
nobody's as old as Tony is.
Nobody.
Does Dave Roberts have it? No, he does not.
Right, hey, Scott, can you run as fast as you could run back in the day?
No, you
can't. That's why they're not going to put you out on the tennis court to win the biggest match because you're old. It's the same thing with the manager. At some point, I thought he'd be okay.
He's physical acumen and mental acumen are two different things.
But mental acumen,
I can't run. But boy, I'm a better thinker than I was when I was 22.
Think about how you're going to think at 78 after everything we heard today. At whatever age you're at, I mean, think about that.
We'll see. I guess time will tell, right? Just like it will tell with Mr. La Russa.
Hey, listen, I appreciate the fact that you are in the corner. And you listen, I would hire you if I was going if we had to do Vietnam all again and I had to go in the foxhole. I'd take you with me, buddy. You ain't leaving. You're there.
I mean, King, honestly, I'm rooting for you, man. I want this to be a good, you know, hire and a good situation. But so far, it's been a little shaky. And I think you have to be able to see that there is a disconnect in that dugout between his coaching staff, some of the players. That's just obvious, man. That's just obvious. And I'm hoping it improves. Listen, I don't want to dislike Tony, but, you know, it's been a little shaky the first month. It's been a little shaky.
And we got 1 minute and 40 seconds here. I wrote, and King, I know you've read it. Maybe Courtney and Mo have not. But I wrote an extensive article when they hired La Russa, praising the living daylights out of him. Now, that was partly because I was working for the ball club at the time. But I wrote it, and I made the argument, and I believed it. He's Tony La Russa. He's not. How can you forget this stuff? I don't care that he hasn't managed in 8 years. So I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest, how it's played out. Like, this has been disappointing. And at the end of the day, they're still in first place. If Courtney, Mo, King, or myself was managing this team, I think they'd be in first place. I can manage 0.5 Carlos Rodon, 1.5 Lance Lynn. I think I could do it. I think I could.
Yep.
So
they are in first in spite of their manager. That's 100%. They're that talented.
I can't go there with you, Courtney. I think it's easy to – I'm in between the two of you. I think – You know, it's in between.
Mo, I just puked in my mouth.
If Robin Ventura was managing this club, would they be in first place?
Oh,
no,
they would not.
No. I am not a Robin.
Neither Terry Bevington.
That's tough.
Ricky
Rhea, they would not be in first.
Oh,
place.
You're crazy.
He consistently made bad choices.
No, I think Renteria would have him in first. Absolutely. Not Robin, though.
He might blow it in the playoffs, though. That was ugly.
Here's who I do know would have him in first, for sure. Tony La Russa.
Well, I think I've learned this over the years. The most important philosophy is the one that the front office has. And, you know, there are different attitudes about that. They really communicate with the scouts, player development, people on the major league staff, whether it's me or the coaches.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
There's another hit. A drive down the third baseline. The tying run may score. He's around third, racing for the plate. The throw. He hasn't touched the plate yet, and he does. Michael Jordan has tied up the ball game with a ground double to left. And everybody's on their feet yelling.
Two runs batted in, and there was nothing fluky about that double. That was a rifle shot down the line.
Michael, I want you to know, I've been around this game for 50 years. This is the biggest thrill of my life, just seeing you in a baseball uniform. Because I remember talking to your dad, and he used to tell me how you and he used to go out in the backyard down home, and he'd throw the ball to you, and then you'd get a little bat, and he'd pitch it to you. And now you're trying to fulfill the dream that all of us had as a kid, someday to be a major league ball player. You've been a major league everything else. Now you're trying to be the baseball player you dreamt about.
Well, I think just being given an opportunity is something that I can feel very privileged about. I mean, the White Sox gave me an opportunity just to go out there and see what type of skills I have. And if I ever develop the skills to be up here, then great. If I don't, you know, at least I fulfill the dream, at least trying. And I've had a good time doing that.
You don't go ahead with baseball. What's next? I know you've tried golf. Everybody knows how great a basketball player you are. Would you ever consider coming back to basketball, or is hockey your next game?
Hockey won't be my next game because I can't skate.
The difference is that once the game starts, there is no formula that can measure the head, heart, and guts of a player that day, or even before.
Yeah, I was spectating as hard as I could.